Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Holy Nativity. For today's worship, you were handed a worship folder that contains a cream color service order card and a sheet with the prayers, the hymns, and the readings to guide you through the service, or you can follow along with the projected information on the screen if you prefer. Gather and Grow meets each Wednesday at 7 p.m. For 5 weeks following the viewing of the movie War Room, study groups will be meeting to discuss the movie. I understand that's very interesting. Holy Nativity will be offering a day school summer program that will meet each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 a.m. till noon on the days of June 20th through July 29th. For additional details, or if you're interested in that, check out the news and notes. Save the dates of August 1 through August 5 for this year's Vacation Bible School, and that's titled Deep Sea Discovery. You can join us each Friday night in the Family Life Center for co-ed volleyball, and that's 7 to 9 p.m. The fifth annual semi-annual Holy Nativity Golf Tournament will be held this Friday, May the 20th, and that's out at Willow Springs. Today is the sign-up deadline. If you haven't already signed up and you want to participate, you should see Kathy Joshi, and she can answer any questions, or she'll be happy to take your sign-up. In today's bulletin, there's an insert for the Bonfire Restaurant on the dates of May 23rd through the 28th. If you take this pamphlet over there to the restaurant and you enjoy their food, a portion of the proceeds will be set aside to benefit Holy Nativity. For today's service, the hymnal we're using today is Hymns of Faith. This is the thick blue hymnal, which is located in the pew. Thank you, and let's worship.
Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Today we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming into our world, and we pray that His presence will be sensed here even more this morning. Let us rise and begin worship with our mission statement this morning. We are called by Christ, unified by the Holy Spirit, to grow disciples, to spread the gospel. Let us worship. Yeah. cross there, teach my. We continue in worship this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O Lord, to deliver me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to whom our hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. So as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pass the peace.
Good morning, everyone. The first lesson of the day comes from the 11th chapter of Genesis, beginning with the first chapter, and is found on page 10 of your pew Bible. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Here ends the first reading.
Good morning. Our second lesson is found in the second chapter of Acts, starting at the first verse. And it reads, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here ends our second lesson. Please rise for the singing of our gradual hymn.
Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 23. And it reads, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Here ends the reading of the gospel. We will now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. And on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, and I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, our Creator, earth has many languages, but your gospel announces your love to all nations in one heavenly speech. Make messengers of the good news that, through the power of your Spirit, everyone everywhere may unite in one song of praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, and united of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the sermon hymn.
Can I have the kids come up? And while they're coming up, is there anyone that did not get a piece of paper from me? A colored piece of paper. Hey guys. Okay, so today is Pentecost. Do you know what that means? Great! We're gonna find out today. I'm so excited. Okay, so way, way back, everybody spoke the same language, which is awesome, right? So we all can understand each other. Well, then all of a sudden, God decided, it's cool. We're gonna make it so everybody speaks different languages, and they might, and we're gonna see how they communicate with each other. Okay, so far so good? Well, this is what we're gonna do today. We know that it's important for everybody to know that Jesus loves them, right? So, I'm gonna give you a piece of paper, and everybody in here, we're gonna pretend like they don't know Jesus, and you need to go up to them with the same color piece of paper that I give you, and you need to find those people that have the same color and tell them Jesus loves them. Can you do it? I'm gonna give them their paper, and when they stand up to come, that's when I need you guys to hold up your piece of paper. Okay, please raise your piece of paper and go and find the people that match your piece of paper and tell them Jesus loves you. You might have to search. Go ahead. Go look. Anywhere. Keep going. You guys can do it. Anything? Nothing? There has to be someone, right? Okay, come back here. Come on, come on. You can put your papers down for now. Okay, can I have those back? Because I only cut enough for everybody at both services. Not like you guys, I cut more than enough for yours. Well, at this point, the disciples and the apostles are like, what? We can't talk to everybody because we don't have the same language, or like we don't have the same color pieces of paper as everybody. So the Holy Spirit comes down and suddenly they can talk like everybody else. So, fear not. I'm going to give you three colors because they have a lot of colors out there. So we're just going to pretend like there's a lot more of us. And now, the people that have the same color as you, I want you to go and tell them Jesus loves them. Please raise your colors again and go. Anyone that matches. There's lots of people. Come on, Andrew, you can find some. Okay, guys, you can come on back. Now, here's the really cool thing. These pieces of paper might represent what it's like for others when we don't, when we can't communicate with them. It's really hard when we can't tell them about how, you know, how much Jesus loves us, right? But guess what? We have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit and God will give us the words if we're playing with friends and maybe they're going to do something that we know isn't right. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that because that's not right. That's not a good thing to do. And I love Jesus, and Jesus would want me to do the right thing. Okay? Now, I have all of your pieces of paper, but the paper that you guys have, that is your representation of everybody so you can go out and share the gospel with other people and know that they might not have the same love language or the same way that we talk to our spouse or our children, but that is a reminder for you to be able to share the gospel with other people and find the right words to share them, to share that with them. Can you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and helping us find the right words so we can spread the gospel. In your name, amen.
So the Lord be with you. This morning, grace, mercy, and peace to you on this day of Pentecost. We celebrate the season of Pentecost today. It starts, and as you know, it's a long, long season. And as I always do, I like to give you a little background about this festival. The word Pentecost derived from the word 50. It was the Jewish feast held 50 days after the second day of the Passover. It was also called the Feast of Weeks because it started 7 full weeks after the harvest of the first fruit. It was required that every able-bodied Jewish male travels to Jerusalem to attend the feast and offer sacrifice. It is amazing to note how God takes the Jewish calendar and fits it in with his divine plan of salvation. When Jesus was raised to life, it was at the exact time of the new harvest. He became the first fruit of a spiritual harvest at that time. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascends into heaven, and 10 days after his ascension, which marks 50 days after his resurrection, there is a celebration going on in Jerusalem in observance of the 50th day of grain harvest. So God chooses the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection to pour out his Spirit on 120 believers, which then began the harvesting of lost souls throughout the world. In other words, this is the day when the Holy Spirit arrived into our world. This is why we set this day aside to praise the Lord, because this day begins the worldwide mission of God, pulling lost souls out of the pit of hell. So we celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit. You imagine the scripture lets us know that when Jesus ascended, the disciples were waiting in the upper room. They didn't have any power. They were very timid and didn't want to go out there and get caught, knowing that they have followed this Messiah. So they were afraid and hiding and praying and waiting until the Holy Spirit arrived and granted them the power to be able to do the things that they were not able to do on their own. So as we celebrate these things this morning, I want us to see the atmosphere that existed amongst those who were waiting that day when God, the Holy Spirit, arrived in our world. As I speak to you under the theme, God in a unified church. God in a unified church. One of the subtopics from last week's message, taken from John 17, regarding Jesus' prayer for the church, was about unity. One of the subtopics was about unity, and it came from John 17, verse 21 through 23. This particular part of the prayer is emphasized three times, and he's talking about unity, and in there he says, let them be one as we are one. Let them be one as we are one. Came out three times in the prayer. First, what we need to understand, I think, is how powerful the act of unity is. And so, found in our Old Testament reading for today is the story about the Tower of Babel, found in Genesis 11, as was read, where the scripture lets us know in this story, we see that a group of people migrated from the east and settled in the land of Sinai. It was that time when everyone spoke the same language, as was said just now in the children's message. And in that narration, it is said that the people gathered there and said, let us make a name for ourselves by building a tower that all of us are going to live here and there will be no spreading of people all around the world. Well, you see, this was against God's initial plan, because in God's initial plan, it was intended that we will subdue the earth. Means we will multiply in numbers and take over the entire world that he had created for mankind. And yes, a group of folks are saying that this is not going to happen. So let us build this tower and live up here and just be to this one location. And God, the Bible says, looks at it and says that these people are one in their thoughts and understanding. And if we let them do what they're doing, they're going to be successful and they're going to do exactly what they want to do. So then God came down and confused the language. And as a result of that, now we have folks speaking different languages all around the world. And so they could not achieve what they wanted to achieve, because now, as it was easily communicated and done, they could not do it any longer, because now people could not understand one another. So it stopped the whole project from going on. The lesson we learn from this text is that when people are unified in their endeavors, whether good or bad, nothing can stop them from reaching their goals. And so in this context, we realize that the endeavor that these folks had was wrong. It was bad. It was against God's will. So the only person that was able to stop them was God himself. And so God had to come down and carry out a divine intervention to stop this thing from happening so that his plan for creation would continue. In other words, no one on the earth was able to stop it. This same thing applies to whatever is good. Whatever thing we try to do that is good, if we are united in our thoughts, if we are united in our faith, if we are united in our understanding, we are going to be able to achieve whatever we are trying to do. So let's quickly look at the atmosphere of the believers on that Pentecost morning. And as we look at it, the first thing we want to see is that they were unified in their purpose. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Notice that they were waiting on the Lord together. They were not scattered, but waiting on the Lord together. The same trait should mark the church today. We should be waiting on God together, waiting for his return. As a matter of fact, the theme of the hope of the church should be the word waiting. Because all of what we are doing now is we are waiting on the Lord. It is the reason why we gather here this morning, to keep our hope up in what we believe as Christians. Nothing else brings us together. Nothing else keeps us together but the fact that we are waiting on the consummation of time as the church. That's what keeps us together. If anything else was keeping us here, then as a matter of fact, most of us would have been gone away from the church. We would have left because of many circumstances and obstacles that have come in our way along this path. But we keep on keeping on, not because of those things. As a matter of fact, as we sit in church this morning, many folks now, many of us have issues this morning that shouldn't allow us to be sitting here. But we are here this morning because of this one hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the hope keeps us coming. No matter what the problem is that we are faced with, we're coming and we are waiting for this time. In Philippians 1:27, it reads, we are told to strive together in this text. We, the Bible is letting us know, in other words, are a team of people that God has put together. Even though we have different functions, the purpose must always be the same. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 26, Paul explains this as he describes the church as a body. And you can know that the body has different functions, but the body has one purpose. It has different functions, but one purpose. And that one purpose is to live. And so every aspect, every part of the body is functioning to live. And every part supports the other in this one endeavor. And so it is with the church. We come together and we have one purpose. And the one purpose is to live as the body of Christ. So we stay together, we keep going on, even though we have different parts, but we keep moving on and keeping on because we've come together, we are unified in our purpose. And the purpose is to serve Jesus Christ. The purpose is to wait until he comes. Our purpose is to wait for that time when he's going to bring back the new Jerusalem. And all of God's people will be risen to live with him there for eternity. So we keep on keeping on, and we have our purpose, and that purpose is in Jesus Christ. Second thing is that they were unified not only in the purpose, but they were unified in prayer. Scripture says in Acts 1, verses 4 through 5, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Notice that they prayed together. They prayed and with one another, and they pray for one another. Prayer was a constant thing that happened during that time. And it's a constant thing that ought to be happening in the church today. Notice that nothing builds unity in a church any more than praying together. Nothing builds unity more than praying together. It's the reason why in Holy Nativity, we have set aside Wednesdays as the day of prayer. Wednesday of every week is the day of prayer for our church. And many of you will receive notice through your emails reminding you to pray or receive text messages reminding you that Wednesday is the day of prayer. It is important that the church prays together because the church that prays together is the church that stays together. A family that prays together is a family that stays together. And we pray together because prayer is important. It is through prayer that we come to realize that we have a relationship with God. You see, imagine what it would be like if you were in a house with your family or in a house with your spouse and you guys were not talking and you had nothing going on as far as communication was concerned. What kind of fellowship is that? And that's how it is with many Christians who don't pray at all. We don't talk to God. We don't talk to God. Instead, we ask other folks to pray for us. But it shouldn't be that way. We should be talking to God about the situations that we face in life. And so nothing brings miracle in a church than praying together. Example of this is we see in the book of Acts also when Peter was locked up in prison. The Bible says the church got together and started praying. And they prayed about this situation. The prayer was that God would deliver Peter out of prison. But you see, God delivered Peter that night when the angel went and unlocked the doors and took Peter out of that place. And Peter went back to them, and when he knocked on the door and they came and saw him, they couldn't believe that. Why? Because it was a miracle. Nobody in their sound mind would have thought that Peter would have been released out of that prison, the Roman's prison. It was not something that was so easily done. But God delivered him. That was a miracle. When the church prays, the church sees miracle. A church that doesn't pray is the church that doesn't see miracle. It is very important. This is the reason why here at Holy Nativity, we emphasize prayer. We pray after every service, right there in the corner. People go and receive prayer. We pray on Wednesday. We have a prayer team that takes people's prayer requests and lift it up to God. But it shouldn't only be a team that is praying. It should be the whole church praying to God. Every person under the authority of my voice, every person that makes up this body ought to be in prayer on a regular basis before Almighty God. No wonder why Satan attacks this activity more than any other. He attacks it because he knows the kind of fruit that would come from out of prayer. And he attacks us constantly. Remember those moments when you got on your knees before the bed, before lying in bed to sleep, and then you fell asleep while trying to pray, or lying in the bed and trying to say a prayer, and you fall asleep while trying to pray. The devil doesn't want us to pray, my friends, but prayer is what keeps the church going, and it is what kept them together as they waited on God. So they were unified in their purpose, unified in prayer, but they were also unified in power. Look in Acts 2, verses 3 and 4. They read, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit. Notice the text said they were all filled with the power of God. Not some, but all. Why did all get filled? They were all unified in purpose and in prayer. And because they were unified in purpose and in prayer, every person there got affected by the presence of God. All right? Every person there got affected by God's presence at the time. One of the problems with modern Christianity today is that the church members are in all different stages of spiritual development. And this stops us from really yielding the fruit that God wants to see in the church. Because if we are a body, then we ought to be growing together. Imagine what it would be like if you had one part of your body growing and maturing while the other part is not. What would it be like? What would it feel like? It's going to be difficult to do many things. But since we are a body, and since the Holy Spirit dwells among us, and the purpose is to build up this body, then it means that every part of the body ought to be affected by the works that he is doing at this given time. But we don't see this because why? People are growing differently. People are growing. Some are growing. Some are immature. Some are not saved at all. Some are spirit-filled. Some are over-emotional. Some don't have interest at all. And so with that kind of concept, and some of us are walking in our own fleshly desires instead of walking in the desire of the Spirit, makes it difficult to see the power of God radiating and moving in the church, in the body of Christ, when the church is divided. There is a need for us to come under one umbrella, believe in one thing, believe in one word, believe in the Bible, and follow its practice and principles, and not, you know, walk in our own selfish desires. When we do that, the church is built up and the Holy Spirit's presence is seen through the powers that he works in and through the church. There is no other way around spiritual unity than being filled and led by the Spirit of God. Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people, the Bible says, that we need not to have just a form of godliness, but we need to have godliness with power. And that power comes to change things. That power comes to bring about development. That power comes to transform. That's what the power of God does when he enters into the life of the church. So we need to, you know, not only celebrate Pentecost, but believe in the power that Pentecost brings to the church. And that power is the transforming work of God. It's the work that he comes into the life of the person and changes the life. Where the scripture says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's the work that the Spirit is doing. So they were not only unified in their purpose, not only unified in prayer, not only unified in power, but lastly, they were unified in performance. Look in Acts 2, verse 4. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Here in this text, we see that each of them is being enabled for that moment. We are living in a time now, we are living in a moment now where the church, where every person in the church ought to be enabled and developed by the Holy Spirit for this moment. The devil is at rage right now in our world more than he has ever been in any age. And he's working because we are growing closer to the end of time. And his plan is to get as many people as he can down in hell with him. And the church needs to be vigilant. But we cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this by ourselves. We need God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who leads, the one who is able to teach us and comfort us and direct us and strengthen us for the task that is ahead of us. We need God for this moment. When the church is unified in the Spirit, every member is performing his or her part. Every member, not some, but everyone is doing something as the Spirit delegates that task. The Bible tells us to stir up the gifts that is inside of us. That means that every person in the church has a gift inside of them that needs to be stirred up. Stirred it up. And you know, every time I talk about this text, it reminds me about when I first started preaching God's word. The sermon was not as good as it sounds today. And I kept staring this gift out until it became what it is now. Still trying to work on it. It's not gotten there yet, but we're still working on it. But it was not as good as it is now when I first started. That's how it is with all of us. God has called every person. Every person has been called who has been baptized in faith. So he is calling us because why? We have been given this Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he has come to unify us. He's come to enable us. He's come to provide for us. He doesn't save one and set another to serve, but he saves all, and then everyone comes in to serve. So he doesn't save one and to other, he says, sit and wait. No, but it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. A right-handed work writer created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has called us, and he's given us his power and his Holy Spirit. We celebrate this moment because the Spirit of God is present with us. So as we look through to this message, we see God at work through people. All right? Through people. This is not just them working, but God is working through people. And the question to all of us this morning, the question for you and for me today is not how well are you doing, but rather how well is God's Spirit doing in you? It's the question that we all go home with. How well is the Spirit of God doing in you? Because Scripture lets us know that it's possible that we could grieve the Spirit. It is possible that we could quench the Spirit of God inside of us from doing the things God has placed him on the earth to do in and through us. So the question to us this morning is, how well is he in us? Is he quenched? Is he grieved? Is he joyful because we have made ourselves available to be used by him? This morning, we ponder on these questions as we observe his presence in our world today. And we leave church today reminding ourselves that God has sent his spirit in our world so that we may be enabled to do the things that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. So we pray that the words from God this morning will encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing that he did not leave us alone, but granted us his spirit, the spirit who leads us, the spirit of power and the spirit of might. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.
We continue in worship with the taking of our tithes and our offerings. Please be seated. And will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Father, we give you thanks for this day. We gather in your presence to worship and to glorify your holy name. Father, we give you thanks for the Spirit that you poured out upon each of us. That same spirit that you poured out upon the first Christians in the scripture lesson that we read today. That same spirit that lives with us today. The spirit of the living God. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the unity that this spirit creates within us and creates within your church on this earth. Father, we pray that Holy Spirit that lives within us makes us different, makes us shine in this world. Father, we pray that the secular world sees that difference and desires that difference. Father, so that we pray that through the power of that Holy Spirit, that we are bold, that we stand up and we declare with confidence what it is. We declare you, that it is you that makes us difference. It is you that gives us the peace that passes all understanding. It is you and only you that helps us to shine like we shine. So, Father, help us to be bold and declare to those that do not know you that you love them, that you desire a relationship with them. Help us to share the gospel message of salvation. May we grow disciples in this fallen world. Father, we pray today for Bev George. As she had to leave today to go home, she was not feeling well. Lord God, we just pray that you comfort her, that you take away the dizziness and the anxiety that she has with it, that you give her your peace. Father, we want to give you praises of thanksgiving that Dorothy Carter is home from the hospital and that she is doing well. Father God, we just thank you so much for answered prayer. Father, we pray all of these things in the precious name of your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Let us rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy of our fallen world, you give your only Son. And all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts. We may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in this Holy Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which has been shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So drink of it as often as you do in remembrance of me." So as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Please be seated. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink his blood poured out for you on the cross. Welcome. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, the body of Christ. O God, the Father, the fountain source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you've given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Thou art all compassion.